Let's pray for the word. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask, Father, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, Father God. Lord, please send your Holy Spirit abundantly to us now, Father, as we study your word, Lord. Just as you gave this word to Ezekiel, Father God, we pray right now that you would open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts, Father God, to your message, to your purpose, and to its application, Father God. And Lord, we pray if there's anyone in this room, Lord, that doesn't understand you and your salvation, that you left the deity of heaven, Father, to come to the earth and be beaten and whipped and killed for our sins, Father God. If somebody does not understand that today, Father God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come into this room like a rush of wind, Father God, and change them supernaturally, Father God. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a number of weeks back, Casey McKay called me up. Actually, about a month and a half ago, he called me up and said, I need you to preach on Halloween. I said, no, I'm going to be in Ohio. I'm not preaching. He goes, no, I really, really need you to do it. I said, Casey, I'm going to be in Ohio. God wants you to preach. Well, now that's, I might wrestle with God. I might, maybe try to argue with God. But when God says you're going to do something, you can either do it the easy way, or you can do it like Balaam, where he was running away from God and the donkey smashed him, almost broke his leg, and had to experience a talking donkey kind of talking him down, mm-hmm. and only to see that the angel of death was sitting at the end with the sword. Today's title is Trick or Treat. I picked this passage because it is unique. I want to say, everyone here, can you say, good morning, Christopher.
Good morning, Christopher.
Sabah khair, ya habibi. This is my friend Christopher. This is the guy I was talking about that was out holding signs. Christopher, come on. You're a bold guy. Sit over here in the front. Please. No. Please. Fadl. How you doing? No. Sit over there. Okay. Yeah. You want to preach? We can take over. This guy was preaching on the corner holding signs the first time I met him. That's like, is that guy on fire? We can talk a little bit more about Christopher. But I titled this sermon Trick or Treat. Okay, so I knew this was going to be on Halloween, and Casey kind of encouraged me. Casey, every time there's some kind of non-spiritual holiday, he always makes light of it, right? Like last Valentine's Day, he had Fred Astaire up here on the TV monitor, and on St. Patrick's Day he dressed in green and told all kinds of little leprechaun jokes. And so, well, in keeping with tradition at this church, I had to make light of Halloween, and it's there's some very serious aspects of Halloween. And but I think what I wanted to contrast is, so I picked Ezekiel 37. We're in this gigantic boneyard. And what I told you at the beginning about my understanding of Halloween, it's in some places it's called Day of the Dead. Down in Mexico, they have these big celebrations in cemeteries, and they celebrate the dead, pray for the dead. In Hungary, we lived in Hungary for 4 years. And in Hungary, you can't get near a cemetery on the 31st of October. You can't buy any flowers because it's impossible, because they're celebrating the dead. And as I mentioned, everybody in this room is going to die. Life does not have a lot of certainties. There's only probabilities. But one thing we are certain of, we are all going to die. And you can either follow the path toward the holy resurrection, or you can follow the path of this world and what this world offers as a point of resurrection. And I hope today that everyone here has chosen life and not the world. The world is very enticing. It's very, very pleasing to the eye. It's very, very pleasing. It makes our hearts sing. But please stay steadfast in the Word of God. I'm going to read this chapter again, although Aiden did a wonderful job. Praise the Lord. I just want to go over this one more time just so that everyone hears it and understands it. And I'm reading out of the New International Version. Help me out here. You picked the Vic. You picked the King James Bible to have your kid read. That's harsh, dude. That's harsh.
New words, old fashioned.
You know, 14th century old fashioned. Okay, great. All right. Anyway, in all fairness, if you're going to do a good exegesis, you really do need to use the King James Bible. But me, my personal version, my best favorite version of the Bible is the picture Bible I got when I was 7 years old. So that's I'm not a cerebral giant. But coming out of the New International Version, this is what Ezekiel 37 says. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover up with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am Lord. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Okay, so the period that this is written, Ezekiel wrote this approximately 600 years before Jesus, and it was the time of exile. Okay, let's go back a little bit before the story. Nebuchadnezzar marches down from Babylon. Israel is just steeped in sin. They're putting Asher poles on the top of mountains and bowing down and worshiping Baal and the Asher poles. And God is warning them. He sends a few prophets to warn them, Elisha and Elisha. And everyone ignores it. And finally, then we hear, this is the period of the great prophets. We have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. But as Isaiah and Jeremiah start warning that you are going to be destroyed. And sure enough, Nebuchadnezzar does exactly what God tells him to do, even though he's a heathen. He comes down, he marches down, and he slaughters Israel. He takes whatever's left in Jerusalem. He not only destroys the temple, but he desecrates it, right? He slaughters pigs and desecrates the temple. And anyone that's alive that seems smart or like maybe he feels sorry for, he takes them all back to Babylon. And this is where Ezekiel is when he gets this vision from God. So in the very first, set the scene here, we're in what is a gigantic mess of bones. And I want to stress they were very dry bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. Sometimes, folks, God has to take us off of our perch. He has to take us out of our comfort zone and take us down to the lowest denominator here in a valley. He sticks us in a valley of bones. All right. And I thought that was fitting for Halloween. This is kind of like there's all these bones. When I drive up and down into Target or some of these stores, what do we see? We see these decorations. They're skeletons, right? They're bones. And didn't see anything for Reformation Day. I was looking around, but I didn't see it. Today's Reformation Day, the 505th anniversary of Martin. Anyways, we'll catch you up, Christopher. But sometimes he has to bring us to the valley in order to actually get us to listen, to get us to talk. So he's walking Ezekiel in this vision all throughout these bones. Now, I want to try to help you understand the despair and just the darkness of these bones. This valley is likely the battleground where Nebuchadnezzar just marched in, and he didn't just win the battle, he slaughtered these soldiers. And the ultimate insult, if you know anything about Jewish culture, the law requires that Jews have all of their body parts brought together and buried before sunset. How do I know this? I've traveled a bunch in the Middle East and in Israel in particular, and you'll see a bus bomb go off. A bomb will go off on a bus, and it'll kill everybody on the bus. They bring out special rabbis, a special unit that comes out there and tries to very meticulously pull together all the body parts because it is their custom. It's their culture. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, again, not only was Nebuchadnezzar about conquering, but he wanted to let everyone know he was the most powerful. And so what does he do? He slaughters these people. He slaughters these people, and the bones are everywhere. They're all mixed up. He keeps going into Jerusalem. He slaughters pretty much everyone there, and anyone that's left, he takes back to Babylon. So what? These bones, these people, don't get a proper burial. So they're there in the desert. And here is God taking Ezekiel back and forth, back and forth. And he sees these valleys. And it says here that the bones that were very dry. Now, what's the significance of that? Because he could have just said dry. Right? I mean, bones aren't wet, you know, the bones are dry, but they're very dry. So when God created Adam, how did he do it? Go back to the second chapter of Genesis. He took dust and breathed his spirit and created Adam. And what did he tell Adam? From dust you are, and dust you shall return. This is foreshadowing of this vision that would occur 600 years, or in this case, probably 4,000 years after Genesis 2 was written. Okay. And so then God asks Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, I suspect that God has the answer of everything. Like, God really doesn't have to ask anything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. And he certainly doesn't need Ezekiel to be his wise counsel. He doesn't have to go to him and get. He asks what is basically a rhetorical question because God already knows the answer. We all know the answer, by the way, because I've already read through this. And here's what I want to say is that I don't know about you, but I want to know this God who can bring dead bones back to life. Okay? I want to know that God. I want to get to know him. And really, the only way that I know that you can get to know him is through reading his word and praying for his Holy Spirit to discern the word. You need discernment. Okay? So he said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know that. Now, I have to digress just for 1 minute. Is there anyone here that is from the state of Ohio? You either were born there, you lived there, you went to a Cincinnati Reds game there. Heather, what is the motto of the state of Ohio?
OHOH.
No. No, the motto of the state of Ohio. Yes, you go ahead. No. Okay, wait a minute, Linda. Last chance. Somebody from Ohio, what is the motto of the state of Ohio?
With God, all things are possible.
Through God, all things are possible. Well played, Mrs. Speaker, but of course she's a prop, so anyways. With God, All things are possible. So in asking Ezekiel, Ezekiel gave him the right answer. Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Is there anything that God can't do? Is there anything? Then he said to me, prophesy. Now, when you hear the word prophesy is just another word to say preach. Go and preach. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, when we preach, what should we be preaching? The word of God. All right. Now, does the world do that? Not really. They have all kinds of modern theories and stuff, but preaching the word of the Lord. Now, did anyone, when you were hearing this, and Aiden did a great job reading it, and I read it just now, did any one of you ask this question? Let's say you're there, and you've been walking around in this battleground where all these dry bones scattered everywhere. Did anyone here say, well, if God had asked me, preach to these dry bones, I think I would have said, well, God, those are bones, dude. I don't know. I think I would have probably asked God, well, why? And does God always give us tasks that we understand? Do we always understand the will of God? I don't. And sometimes God challenges us and makes us to do something that he will work through us. He will work through us. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Now, breath often is translated from Hebrew to mean spirit. In other words, the spirit is going to enter these bones. Okay? Now, we preach the word of God. But how does our preaching of the word change lives? How does that do that? How do we do that? Well, we do it through the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, there are churches today that will run away from the Holy Spirit. They don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. They don't want to have anything to do with preaching in tongues. We don't want to have anything to do with, you know, people holding up their hands and praising God. And then there are other churches that really don't want to, you know, they're Pentecostals. They really don't, they kind of glaze over the Word of God. And it's all about the Spirit. We're waiting on the Spirit. And I would say that you need balance, okay? You need the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? And there's an old adage that goes something like this. If you only focus on the word, you're going to dry up. If you only focus on the spirit, you're going to blow up. But if you combine the word and the spirit, you're going to grow up. And that's what we need. We need both of these. We need this balance. How do we get the Holy Spirit? I'll get there in a minute. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Wow, obedience, excellent. As I was preaching, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together bone by bone. Now, can you imagine that? You're out there, and you start hearing all these bones rattling. I mean, that has to be, it's frightening, okay? I would freak out. I would. But the rattling sound, and the bones come together bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. The world today is this picture. They have bones, they have tendons, they have flesh. It would make a great song, wouldn't it? Like, ankle bones connected to the leg bone. Yeah, I ought to patent that. The world, this is the vision of the world. The world is out there walking around. They have a skin, they have bones, they have a mind, they can speak, but they have no spirit. They are the walking dead. They are the world's Halloween picture. They have been tricked. They are walking down. Now, Can they be saved? Are they heading for a death? Well, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to preach the word. We're supposed to share the gospel. We're supposed to pray for them. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. And in prophesying, preaching what was his word, right? God told him what to say, right? This is inspired by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He preached the word. But even then, by preaching the word, these bones were without life. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So God has given this vision to Ezekiel. Preach the word and pray for the Holy Spirit and let these people be saved. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we should be doing always. Every day, every opportunity you have, you should have an opportunity to give a word of encouragement from the Bible, a scripture. Whatever God lays on your heart, you should do that. And if that person rejects it, continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for them. Continue to pray that the Holy Spirit will change their heart. How do you do that, Greg? I mean, I'm not a gifted speaker. I can't get up and talk in front of people. No, you don't need to. You don't need to. How many people here in the last 10 days went out and sat down and ate at a restaurant? Christopher, I know you did. So raise your hand. Okay? So comes time to pay the bill. How many people here tip their waiter or waitress? Yeah, sure you do. How about in addition to the money that you're giving, and I hope you're doing at least 20%, how about writing down there a Bible verse? Or just say, Jesus loves you. Come join us at the congregational church. How many people do that? How many people did that this week? Very good, Randy. Yeah, do that. I do it pretty much every time. I write down, Jesus loves you. I think we were in Hamilton a couple weeks ago, and I actually invited, and the waitress said, this is so encouraging. I've had such a terrible day, and I thank you so much that you cared. And I've got young kids, and of course my wife said, we have a children's program at the Hamilton Church, and you guys can come there. And so she was like really encouraged. We left and came back down here, so I don't know if she came or not. But that's what we need to do. That's what we need to be doing. That's the message here. Preach the word. Share the gospel. You don't have to get on a street corner like my friend Christopher here and start preaching the word. You don't have to. He does it. And he's pretty strong. So if anyone gives it, like, I like to stand next to him because just look at him, man. He looks like a bouncer almost. But you didn't think you'd get, next time you come late, you're going to get worse. But anyways, I love this man though. I really do. No, that's the message. Preach the word. Pray. So here we go. So God has given this vision to Ezekiel. Now God's going to interpret. Okay. Then he, God, said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves, bring you up from them, and will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in the land, your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it. Done it, declares the Lord. Now, there's one interpretation of this, okay? This was God's interpreting for Ezekiel this vision. Did this actually happen? Did all these soldiers get up and then start walking into Jerusalem? Probably not. I can't say that with 100% certainty. But God has gone ahead and interpreted this vision. Now, is it exclusive to the nation Israel? No. There's only one interpretation. It's what God gave. But there are numerous applications of this scripture for us today. This was hope for the nation Israel, who had turned its back on God, was worshiping foreign gods, putting Asher poles on the top of mountains, sacrificing children to the god of Baal. Okay? God was nursing a chip. But God knew that after this time of exile, he would bring them all back. Now, can we apply this today to our world? Can a nation like ours, the United States, has the United States become like dry bones spiritually? Are we as a nation losing our moral compass? I don't know about you, but what I find, unfortunately, I'm still watching the news, and what I find is every day there is a news article that is so shocking, you forget what yesterday's shocking news. It's just like every day it's something more and more hideous. We have a responsibility to be praying for this nation. What did Solomon say in 2 Chronicles 8:14? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will hear, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, confess their sins and forsake their ways, I will be faithful to hear their prayers from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Yeah, same thing. This is what we can do today. We can have a meaningful impact in our country by praying, starting off and praying for change in our country. Pray for our president. Pray for our governor. Pray for our school board. Pray for change. Pray that this country repents and comes back. We don't have to watch this country spin out of control and become this lawless nation. We don't have to do that. But it starts with prayer. It starts with learning this word. Okay? That's the key. God makes this pretty simple. Know the word and pray. Pray that you understand the word. Pray that when you share the gospel with someone else, that there will be meaningful change in their life, namely salvation. Amen. Church, I beg you. You guys are doing a great job. Those of you that come to FLAP every week, I see amazing growth. I mean, there's people in here really that are qualified to get up and do what I'm doing right now. Jason's one of them. Probably Vic might be another. But please, please, please learn this word. This word is life. It is the life. Nothing's impossible through God. And God has already commanded us. Preach this word. Share this word. Give people. Learn this word. Hide that word in your heart. And provide it to people, so there can be meaningful change. And don't forget the prayer. Pray, because you're not going to do this in your own strength. I mean, even Vic can't do this in his own strength. And he's a smart guy. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would quicken the hearts of everyone in this room, that you would break their hearts for what breaks yours, Father, that you would quicken them to read your word, to study your word. Lord, let it be the first thing they do when they get up, and let it be the last thing they do before they go to bed. Lord, let them praise you, worship you, and just revel in your ways, Father. Let them always glorify you, Father God. And Lord, as they're learning your word and praying for the lost, praying for the sick, praying for those who are struggling, Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you would transform them, that they would live to glorify you, Father God. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If any of you would like to come up during this song now and you need any kind of prayer, maybe this is the first time you ever heard the word of God, maybe you have just needs in your life, maybe you have needs of healing. I brought the spikenard with me here somewhere. This is your time. So please come forward as you see, as you need, Father. You all stand. Thank you.